So, get out your outlines from your bulletins if you want to use your outlines. By the way, some people ask me occasionally, you don't have to use the outlines. The church police will not come arrest you if you don't use the outlines, okay? So just relax if you don't want to use them. But they're a tool. You can use them if you want to. If not, you can take them home, line the bottom of your birdcage with them. I don't care what you do with them. But, I mean, I do encourage you to fill them out if they're helpful. And if you do fill them out, keep them. Hang on to them because you can go back later and reference these things and they can be helpful to you. Well, we are in week 5, and today I really want to sort of focus the spotlight on Jesus and me, or Jesus and you. I want to look at our relationship with Jesus in terms of being salt and being light. And in particular, I want to look at how we can be light in our community. So as I was thinking about this, and of course, knowing that we were going to have our light night last night, I decided that the clicker isn't working. I was wondering if this was going to happen. No less fails, hit it. That's what I say. Is that up all the way? I think so. Ah, there we go. Okay, I thought I'd share with you the top 10 things that I love about light nights. So, here we go. Number 10, it's spelled wrong. I love it. Because I can't spell worth a darn, you know? I'm a terrible speller. Even with spell check, I still get things wrong. Don't ask me how I manage that. Number 9, the church is full of that lovely duct tape smell. I came in here Friday and I thought, what died in here? And I was informed that really nice, expensive duct tape smells. I did not know that, so I've learned something this week. Number 8, hundreds of trees dying for the faith. There you go, love that. So we've got back upstairs, we did this maze thing full of boxes, and all the boxes are back there, and they're going to go in the trash tomorrow or sometime. Number 7, the only time that I buy tons of candy and actually give it away instead of eating it for myself. So that's really good here. Number 6, I got 3 words for you. Men wearing makeup. You got to love that. Yeah, woo-hoo, some of you guys did it. That's right, some of you did. You know you did. Okay, the number 5 thing I loved about Life Night was you can actually walk up to people and say, hey, what are you supposed to be, and get away with it. You know, if you do that like this morning, you're going to get in big trouble. But last night, there was no problem. I had a lot of people ask me that. Number 4, I can honestly say, hey, I planned to look this bad, okay, and get away with it. Normally, people ask me, what are you wearing? Why did you dress that way? See, light night, you can get away with it. Number 3, people keep asking me to take my mask off when I'm not wearing one. Oh, wait a minute, that's not really not a good thing, is it? That happened last night. All right. Number 2, 3 words, adults looking dopey. You gotta love it. I love it. I love it when adults just dress up and kind of just guys, people that would normally not look that way. I love it. And the number 1 thing which I love about Life Night, and I know that everybody who was involved last night, particularly those of you who stayed for the cleanup, and thank you and God bless you. And if you're as sore as I am this morning, I feel your pain. The number 1 thing is, it's over for another year. Yeah! Woohoo! Okay, and I got a sore throat this morning. I have no idea why, so we'll try and get through this without losing my voice. All right, well, let's pause now and look at how can we be light in this world, and let's focus on our relationship with Jesus. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we just want to take a moment to pause now. We get so busy and we move so fast, and you know, Lord, I'm so guilty of that in my own life. I just pray you'll help all of us to just slow down, take a breath, pause and focus, so that we can hear you as you speak to us through your word today. Holy Spirit, I know you are here, and that you are moving in our midst, and you are touching us. Help us to be responsive to whatever it is that you're trying to impress into our hearts and our minds today, through your word. We thank you that your word is truth, O Lord, and we pray you will speak to us through it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, to live in the light, I need to do a couple of things. And today I just want to share with you a few of those things that you and I need to do if we're really going to live in the light. And I decided to start, you know, the question people come to you a lot of times and you ask yourself is, where do I begin? How do I start this? Well, and the answer I always give people is, it's a little facetious, but it's actually good advice, is begin at the beginning. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to begin at the beginning. First thing I've got to do if I'm going to live in the light is to believe Jesus is the light of the world. If I don't believe that, And if I'm not committed to that, because that's what the word believe in the biblical context means, it means commitment, committing your life to it, not just some abstract notion that it's true. If I don't do this, then I'm not liked, and no matter how hard I try, I can't be liked. You know? That's the thing about light. You either are light or you're not light. You can't somehow work real hard and become light. This is a little 9-volt battery which is up here. There's all kinds of junk under the magic pulpit here with full of things. And I just grabbed this. This is a little battery. It's probably kind of low on power, which is why it's not powering my cordless mic this morning, my lapel mic. This light, this battery, if you put it in some flashlights, could charge and generate light. But it is in and of itself not light. And no matter how hard this battery tries, it'll never be light. The best it can do is provide the power to make it. If I'm not a Christian, no matter how hard I try, no matter how many good and wonderful things I do, I cannot be the light of the world. I must believe Jesus is the light of the world, or else I have no chance. Look what Jesus said. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Did you notice that? I am. Not I will be, or I could be, or come back later when I am. No, he says, I am. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. How do I find light in my life to illuminate things so that the moral choices that I face and the spiritual choices that I face every day, as we are confronted with all kinds of people claiming to speak for God, and all kinds of books come out, it's the secret, it's this, it's that, and you've got all these people claiming to have the answers for you. How do I see clearly? I must put my faith in Jesus. And there's a couple of bullet points under this that I want to make really clear. Most of you probably already know this, but it's good to remind ourselves of this. The first one is Jesus is the only reliable source of knowledge about God. Jesus is the only reliable source of knowledge about God. There's a lot of people that speak about God, and they may even be right in some particular instances. But they're guessing at best. They're responding to some kind of intuitive feelings that they have. They don't know. Jesus knew because Jesus was God. God in human flesh, come to earth in a body. And so he knew. His knowledge was not simply something that was developed by studying and thinking and praying and waiting to be enlightened, as so many people through the ages have done. His knowledge came because he was God. He was there with his Father in heaven. He knew. He absolutely knew. He wasn't guessing. He wasn't thinking. He wasn't projecting. He wasn't philosophizing or theologizing or coming up with a theory. He was speaking fact. And so I turn to Jesus because he's it. And the second one is salvation comes only through Jesus. I've got to really accept this into my life and believe it. Now, this is about as unpopular in our world today as you can get. Our culture, you know, which is just more and more and more consumed with being accepting of almost anything, rejects this. So that when you stand up and say, salvation only comes through Christ, you're labeled all kinds of bad things. But that doesn't matter. They can label me whatever they want. I don't really care what people label me. I care a lot about what God labels me. And God's the one who decides who's the light of the world. And at the end of everything, when everything plays out and it all comes to an end sooner or later, God's the one who decides who was true and who was false. Who's with him and who's not. So I need to focus on pleasing God. And God says salvation comes only through Jesus. So the first thing I've got to do, if I really want to be light in the world and live in the light, is I've got to commit myself to Jesus who said, I am the light of the world. I've got to accept him as my Lord and my Savior, really give my life to him, live for him, and follow him. That's the bottom line. That's the beginning. Most of you have done that. But if you've never done that or you're not sure, you need to rethink that carefully and get sure. Number two, once I've done that, then I have got to understand that I am the light of the world. You think, well, wait a minute. You just said Jesus was the light of the world. Yeah, he is. But look what Jesus said. He said, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. So he's the light of the world, but we're the light of the world. Now, if you're really confused, I'll confuse you some more. Jesus said, while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Well, is he in the world anymore? No. See, Jesus was saying, look, while I'm here, I'm the light of the world. And in a broad kind of cosmic sense, he's always the light. But now we, his followers, become the light of the world because he's left. I always like to use the analogy of the sun and the moon. Jesus is like the sun. Light comes out of him, out of his who he is, his very nature, his very being causes him to be light. That's the nature of God. The moon has no light in itself. All it does is reflect light. We are like moons. We reflect the light that comes from God, hopefully reflecting it onto the world and showing them the light and the love and the truth and the gospel of Jesus. That's what it means to be light of the world. It's not that I'm generating the light out of myself. I have the Holy Spirit dwell within me as a believer, and he bounces some of the light of Jesus off of me and out into the world. So the light that comes from believers is the light of Christ, reflected off of us. Now, this was actually Friday. I did something I haven't done. I actually don't remember the last time I did this. I took my truck to a car wash. And here in town, I was told about it by a wise person, and I finally got off my duff. And you know, because my truck was so bad, it was bothering me. Now, when a vehicle is so dirty that I notice it, that vehicle's dirty. I'm telling you, you know. So I went there, and you know, I paid my $3 because I'm cheap, and I got it washed. And then, you know, they had the free vacuums at the school, so I vacuumed the inside of my truck out for the first time again. And I don't even remember the last time I did that either. So it took a while. And the truck probably, you know, 40 pounds lighter now that I got all the dirt out. But anyway, you know, it's all clean, it's all shiny, it's all nice, looks great. There you go. That's my truck. It's all clean, it looks good. But it's still just a truck, you know. But it looks much better. And now, when I drive down the street, I see the reflection of things in the hood, of the hood of my truck. I couldn't see anything before because it was so filthy. You just saw dirt and splotches and stuff, you know. But now it's reflecting because it's clean. Some of us are not very good reflectors because we're not all that clean. We've got splotches and marks and scratches and stuff, and so we don't reflect light as good as we could. But spiritual growth is all about God polishing that mirror and shining that mirror and getting that thing so shiny that it just reflects light so well. That's what God wants to do with us. God wants me and you to understand we are the light of the world. Now, we may not look like much now, but God's not done with us yet either. And God can take almost anything. God can take anything and anyone and make them a reflector if we'll just give our lives to him. So no matter how bad you may think you've messed your life up, I've got good news for you. God loves you. God has a plan for your life. God wants to use you. You've got to understand this. Down, all the way down deep inside you, you're the light of the world. If you don't follow Jesus, if you don't cooperate letting him polish you up and help you get where you want to be, then the world will be a darker place than it should be. If you and I don't allow God to work through us, we are choosing not only darkness for ourselves, but we are choosing to send other people into darkness as well. That is not a good choice. God says, no, I want to use you. Let me use you. There's a price to pay for that, sure. It's not easy to be a Christian. It's not easy to follow Jesus. Jesus said it would not be easy, and he was right. But that's what we're called to do, and that's what we're called to be. So number three, we have to live out the implications of being light. You know, it's great just to sit and say, yeah, man, I'm the light of the world. Jesus in me, and I'm the light, and that's all good. Okay, see you later. But we need to think about this for a minute and look at some of the implications. And I've got a long passage here I want to read to you from Ephesians. It's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. Because Paul's talking about something important here. He says, for you were once darkness. You notice that? He doesn't say that as unbelievers we lived in darkness, although we did. He said we were darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Again, Paul echoes what Jesus said, that becoming a Christian isn't just joining some new club or adopting a new philosophy or changing the way you act. It's all those things. But it's actually a change in your very nature, spiritually speaking. You don't look any different. You know, you can come forward, accept Christ, get baptized. You're not going to be thinner. You're not going to be better looking. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. You know, The day somebody invents the magic baptistry that takes 10 or 20 pounds off of you, we'll be having a lot of baptisms. But until that day comes, it's all just, you know, inside. And that's what happens. Because you're actually a different person. Live, Paul says, as children of light. In other words, he's saying, this has happened to you internally. Now you need to start living it out. Start acting like light, because that's what you are. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth. Let's just stop there for a second. Wow. Notice that. He says the fruit of light, in other words, this is what does light produce? Because that's what fruit is. Fruit is something that a tree produces. What is it? Well, apple trees produce apples, and other kinds of trees and vines and stuff produce their own fruit. You don't ever go to a grapevine and see a watermelon coming out of it, do you? No. Good thing for the vine, because it would be it for the vine. No. So what does light produce? It produces goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now, we haven't got time this morning to go through those, but if you want to do some prayer and meditating this week as you read your devotionals and all that kind of stuff, and by the way, if you're sitting here scratching your head saying, the world needs devotionals, we have tons of them available for you. And see me after the service and I'll get you some if you don't have them. But those are the three things. And this would be a good thing for you to pray and meditate on. God, am I really producing this in my life? So he says, live as children of light. And then he says, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitful... Let's see. There we go. Find out what pleases the Lord. And have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. Think about that for a minute. For it is light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, wake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Okay, let's think about these for a minute. Wow. Some people read this verse and these verses, and they get a little scared, and they maybe misinterpret it just a little bit too. When Paul said, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, what does that mean? Well, he's not saying that you should become like the, you know, think that you're some kind of investigative reporter for God, and your job is running around to find out all the dirt on people and share it. That's not what he's talking about. What he is talking about is that the very nature of light, as he says here, exposes things. If you shine a bright light in a room, you're going to see things that you would not see if you had a dimmer light or no light at all. Light, that's part of the nature of light. You see clearly when light shines. So, what does this all mean? Well, let me give you a couple of things that we're going to talk about this morning. Number one, if I'm going to live as light, I've got to live to please God. Here's how the Message paraphrases Ephesians 5:10, which we just read a minute ago from the NIV. Figure out what will please Christ and then do it. I love that, because that is so simple. You know, when we start talking about these concepts of light and salt, and it sounds so high-minded and spiritual, and people kind of start getting out there. They start going nuts. They start getting, how do I... Well, just, you know, calm down a minute, come back down to earth, because light and salt is a very practical thing. And it's very simple. And I love the way this verse is paraphrases it. You find out what will please God. How do I find that out? Right here. This is my first stop. I go to the book. And remember what we talked about a minute ago, that the fruit of light consists of goodness, righteousness, and truth. That gives you a big hint on what's going to please God. And when you figure it out, go do it. That's it. It's simple. It's really simple. We have overcomplicated this. Okay? You live to please God. It's not just follow the rules. It's not just do what I've been told to do or do the minimum requirements that I think I have to have if I'm going to be following Jesus. No, if I'm going to be light in the world, I'm going to go above and beyond what people expect of me and start trying to do what God would be pleased with me doing. Because I want God to be pleased with me. I want God to be happy with me. I don't want God to look down and think, well, okay, he's doing okay. I do not want God to look at me and say, well, you're okay. You know? That's not what you really don't very often want to hear people say, okay. Now, the guys here, the married guys, are going to relate to this. When your wife is trying on clothes and she comes out and asks you how she looks in a new dress or a new outfit, what happens to you if you say you look okay? Oh, it's ugly. Yeah, it's bad. You know, you don't want to say that. You don't want to say that, okay? Because okay is just, meh. It's kind of like, well, it's not really a compliment most of the time. I mean, sometimes it is, but usually it's not. No. We've got to go above and beyond and live to please God. Let's find out what pleases God and do it so that God says, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. I want to get a well done from God, which means I got to find out what pleases Christ and then do it. That's it, folks, right there. If you start doing that this week, your spiritual life's going to grow. And, you know, it's not that hard. So I've got to go above and beyond what people expect of me. And while I'm talking about this whole thing of expectations and rules and things that some people like to live by, I want you to remember God is love and that God calls us to love. And so the one thing that we don't need are spiritual lawyers. And Lord knows that the church is full of plenty of them, and not just the church in America, because I've been in a few other places and I've seen spiritual lawyers there too. People that get all legalistic, and they get their Bible, and they get their point of view on it, and boy, if you do something that they think is just a little bit off, man, they're on you. Of course, spiritual lawyers, like I said to you before, don't carry Bibles like this. They carry the big, thick ones, usually hard bent. So when they hit, it really hurts, you know. This is like nothing. But people run around, and they're, no, we don't need that. We don't need that. What we need is people trying to please God. Sure, you're going to get off, and you're going to make mistakes, and that's when your friends and your pastors and your small group, whatever, comes alongside and says, we think maybe you need to look at this and deal with the issue. But the point is that it's not about legalism. It's not about, okay, here's the five things I have to do. You know, here's the six things God... No, it's about pleasing God. And in different situations, it will call for more of you than other situations. In some situations, it may call you to lay down your life. And if that's what needs to be done, that's what we do, because we want to please Jesus. So I'm living to please God. And this next one's going to be a little hard for a lot of you. It's not particularly comfortable for a lot of people, but it needs to be talked about. And that is, I need to live a transparent life. I need to live a transparent life. I want you to look at how God's Word translation translates verses 13 and 14a, the first part of verse 14. Light exposes the true character of everything because light makes everything easy to see. You might want to circle the word character there, because in the Bible, when you read about light and darkness in this kind of context, it's not simply talking about the kind of light that's coming out of these light bulbs or the laser beam. Oh, sorry, the spotlight that's on me right now. It's talking about moral and spiritual stuff. So light has a moral and spiritual content to it, obviously. And when God's light shines on me, it exposes my moral and spiritual character. It shows me who I really am and what I'm really like. And that's why sometimes a lot of people are not comfortable when you go to talk to them about Christ, because just when you begin to talk to them about Jesus, the little bit they know about the Bible, they know that their lifestyle isn't exactly matching what the Scripture says, and so they get very uncomfortable because you are, without even maybe even being aware of it or knowing it, you're exposing their spiritual and moral sin and flaws, and people get really uncomfortable with that. People get really uncomfortable with that. So what happens? What happens is we have invented, and when I say we, I'm not, again, just talking about the Western Church. It applies to America and the West, but I see this in the East as well. We have invented church culture where it's not who you are, but it's who you appear to be. You know? We have invented a culture in most churches where the goal is to go and look spiritual, to look happy, to appear to everyone that sees you that, man, you've got your act together and you're good, because we have somehow convinced ourselves that is being a good witness. Nothing could be further from the truth, but that's how we live a lot of our lives. And so our lives, instead of being transparent and open and a source of light, are now little like blockhouses where you can't see in, but it looks good on the outside. Well, I painted the outside really good, you know? But inside, I don't want you to see what's inside. Because I'm afraid if you see what's inside, you're going to condemn me. So I got to go to church this morning and I got to look good. And that's why some people don't go to church on some Sundays, because they can't muster up the energy to fake it. So they stay home. That's pathetically sad. The church should be a place where you can come and be yourself. And people are going to tell you the truth, but they're still going to love you anyway. And that can be pretty hard to do. When you care about people and they're messing up and you have to tell them that, it's hard and it hurts. But you still have to do it. And you still have to love them anyway. So what does it mean to live a transparent life? I mean, it's easy to say, what does it mean? In essence, here's what it means. You might want to write this down in your outline. If you want to sum up transparency in two words, it's no secrets. No secrets. Okay, now it's really getting uncomfortable. You wouldn't believe all the secrets I have. What do I mean when I say that? Okay, here's what I don't mean. Here's what this does not mean. Okay, there you go. What's if I put this on the PowerPoint? Here's what it doesn't mean. That I tell everybody everything about me all the time. It does not mean that. Please, don't do it. I'll tell you why in a minute. It does not mean that I tell everybody everything about me some of the time. And it does not mean that I tell everybody everything about me any of the time. See, some of you are thinking when I say no secrets, oh my gosh, he expects me to just stand up. No, I don't expect that. I don't want that. If you're thinking of doing it, please, stay seated. That's not what it means at all. Because when you do that, then you get this next slide, which I just showed you. Too much information, TMI. TMI is a bad thing. And you may be wondering, how do I know this? And I'm going to tell you part of my secret past this morning. Because believe it or not, and the reason that I know this and feel this so strongly is, ladies and gentlemen, I was a teenage TMI-er. Yes, I was. When I came to Christ, I was 13 years old. And what I'm about to talk about probably happened for a couple of reasons. Number one, because of my personality. Some people are just kind of more naturally open than others. And so I can just come up and tell people stuff and I don't even worry about it because that's just me. And then there's the culture I lived in. Now, this is a long time ago. Some of you have read about this in history books. This was back in the 60s, you know, with the hippies and the you've seen the film. I was actually alive back then. And there was this whole thing about the age of Aquarius, and now, oh, it's all cool and everything is new. And I mean, the Bible, it's just talking about love and about your brothers and sisters. I'm thinking, hey, my brother says I can just be open, I can just tell him stuff. And you know, we had small group Bible studies back then, my youth group, so I was like, oh, this is great. So I just started telling people stuff. I was telling people all kinds of stuff. Thank God I don't remember what I said. This is one of the blessings of old age, you know. It's just going to be sad anymore. But I was telling people all kinds of stuff. At one point, my mother looked at me and said, you know, I think you tell anybody anything. And I, in my youthful pride and stupidity, said, yeah, that's right. Well, there's a downside to that. Well, first of all, I don't know what kind of pain and scars I inflicted on the poor people that were listening to me. I guess I'll never know that. But the downside was, at some point, if you tell people too much stuff that they're not ready to hear, that they don't want to hear, that they don't need to hear, they strike back at you. And it's easy, because you've walked up to them and said, here, take this. And it's a little plaque that says, with a knife on it, says, when I turn around, please stab me in the back. I mean, if you just tell everybody everything, it's bad. And bad things happen. And bad things happen to me. And there was this thing happening in the youth group, and people attacked it. It was ugly, and it was bad, and youth sponsors had to work overtime to get it straightened out, you know. And I learned something there, which took me a long time to process, actually, because, you know, initially you sort of don't get it, and then you do get it, and then you overreact, and you pull back too far, and it's hard to find balance here for a lot of us. But the truth of the matter is that our lives as believers should be transparent and open. It doesn't mean that everybody knows everything, but it does mean that I should be willing to share whatever God wants me to share and that I'm not hiding anything. Hiding means I'm deliberately deceiving you into not knowing this. That's different than being private and just, I don't tell you this because there's no reason to tell you. You know, I could tell you all kinds of things about me this morning, but there's no reason to tell you most of that, so I'm not hiding it. It's just not relevant at the moment. You know, most of you know, if you've been here a while, you know I'm single by divorce. And I don't mind talking about that, but I don't talk about it all the time because there's no need to talk about it all the time. But when it's important to a conversation or when I think that's something somebody needs to know and understand, then I'm totally open to talking about it. And I have no problem discussing it at all. It doesn't bother me. Some people are like, oh, I'm sorry. And they don't want, you know, it's like, you don't have to talk about it. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. That's ancient history as far as I'm concerned. It almost feels like now I've gotten to the point where it almost feels like I'm talking about another person. I mean, I know it was me, but it's just very strange. So what does this mean then? Okay, what does it mean? If it doesn't mean that I verbally vomit everything on everybody, what does it mean? It means that, again, I'm not deliberately hiding something. If you have something that you feel you have to hide, that's a problem and you need to go deal with it. You probably heard the saying, there you go, that's bad. Here's the saying that you may have heard. You're only as sick as your secrets. And that's very true. And so if I'm deliberately hiding something, or more than one thing, and I need to get rid of that with somebody and deal with it, whether it's, you know, go to one of your pastors and get counseling, or, you know, go to CR and go through the steps and get a sponsor and deal with it that way, whichever way works for you, or do both, that's also a good thing. Because those secrets, you may think everything's okay because it's secret, nobody knows. But the problem is they generate pain and shame in your life. Just having it there as a secret hurts you and hurts others, and it dims your light. And so you are condemning people to darkness that doesn't need to exist because you're hiding your secrets and you're holding on to those things when God says they are forgiven. Let them go. It doesn't matter. I don't know if you heard the old story. I think it was back in like the 1800s or the 1700s in England. A man, as a joke, nobleman, wrote to five of his nobleman friends and said, "Your secret, anonymously, your secret is out. Flee the country." And the next day, they were all out of England. They all left. They didn't know what it was. He didn't know what it was. I don't know the rest of that story. What I want to know is, what did they do to this guy when he said, "Oh, sorry, just kidding"? I don't know if they killed him or not, but that's how people react. When you're hiding something, don't hide it. Lay it down. Accept the forgiveness of God. Sit down with somebody. Let it out. Let it go. And then God, maybe God will use it down the road to bless and help someone that's struggling with the same problem. Did you ever think about that? That if you hold on to this and hide it forever, maybe you're hurting somebody that you don't even know now, that you could be a blessing to later if you'll just let God deal with it. Christians should be open people. You know, my life's pretty much an open book. You want to know something? Ask me. I'll probably tell you. So be careful. Make sure you want the answer, okay? Because I've had people, and then they get upset. I'm like, hey, you asked, okay? I'm not forcing it. Okay. And finally, the last thing as we close is always stay focused on Jesus. Look at how Paul ends that in Ephesians 5:14, the last part of the verse. This is why it is said, "Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you life." Some of us have been asleep spiritually for months or days or maybe even years. Wake up. Wake up this morning. Rise up. You're thinking, I'm afraid to. What does that verse say? What does it say? It says, and Christ will give you a beating. He'll give you a lecture. He'll tell you you're a scumbag. It doesn't say any of that. It says he'll give you light. He died to forgive you. That issue's solved. In his mind, not in ours, but it is in his. And when we rise up and say, "Forgive me, Lord," he said, "That's what I died for over 2,000 years ago, pal. You're forgiven. Now, have some light, have some love, have some power, have a purpose. Be light. I'm giving you light, now go be light." I want you to stand with me as we pray today. And I want to ask you to just open your heart to God as we pray. And whatever you need to share with the Lord in these few moments, please do so. Heavenly Father, I want to ask you to forgive me and forgive us that sometimes, Lord, we fall into this secrets thing and we hide things and we pretend And we play the hypocrite even though we don't want to and we don't mean to. But you know we do. And so we push the world away because they think this is just a game we're playing. God, I pray that you would make KCC a place of light and salt in this world, and that people would know no matter what they're hurting from, they can come here and they'll be accepted, they'll be loved, they'll be told the truth and confronted with reality. But it's okay to be real here. For that to happen, God, you know that we all have to start being real. That's a pretty scary prospect for a lot of us. So I'm just asking for your grace today, Father, for your love, and that this week you will help us go out and be your light in this town. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.